any rivers that you feel uncrossable? Have you any mountains that you can tunnel through? In so many things that seems impossible. Yeah. And he can do what no other power, stay on it, Holy Ghost power can do.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
If my Lord was to call me, Shiver. Anybody can lift your hand and say, Jesus,
yeah.
He won't be up early.
He blessed me.
Right in this morning.
Jesus.
And he closed me.
He blessed me.
Psalms, Psalm 37, amen. We're going to look at verse 1 and then verse 25, and I want to talk for just a few moments about not being a hater. Don't be a hater. Psalm 37, verse 1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity. Amen. And then verse 25. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't be a hater. Don't talk about envy. Amen. And y'all know that there are folk who are jealous of you. And that's bad enough, because a jealous person really hates seeing you have something.
Amen.
Amen. That's what jealousy is when somebody hates the fact that you've been blessed, that you got a blessing. How many of you know you got some jealous people?
Amen.
But envy, y'all, is on a whole nother level.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because a jealous person just hates that you have it. But an envious person, not only do they hate that you have it, they want what you got.
Amen.
Oh my, oh my, oh my. Psalm 37, thank you, ushers, is probably the only psalm we have that David wrote in his old age. This song is less poetic than his others, and it's quite serious. David starts out with an exhortation or appeal. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity. We do a lot of fretting, don't we? We wonder why unbelievers, some with ill-gotten or even illegal actions, seem to flourish while Christians languish, can't seem to get ahead. We wonder how and why unbelievers can get away with so much. I'm not going to call songwriter C.A. Tindley must have had similar thoughts on his mind when he penned the song, "We'll Understand It Better By and By." Nudge your neighbor and say, "We'll understand it better by and by." That's exactly where David is in his old age. He's been through a battery of seemingly unfair circumstances. First hunted by King Saul and then hunted by his own son, Absalom. He repented of his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba and his plot to have her husband killed, but he still found it hard to forgive himself while others around him seemed to commit sin without any remorse or fear of punishment. Through faith, David comes to this conclusion. He writes that we should not fear those who continue to commit evil. They will be cut down soon enough. Oh my, instead of fretting, David gives us another option. He says we should just trust in the Lord and do good. Amen. Stop worrying about other folk and stop worrying about how they're getting ahead. Amen. And you seem to be falling further and further behind. You come to church. You pay your tithes. You pray. You do all of the right things. But it seems like people who have no thought about God seem to be doing better and better. David comes by to tell us this morning, stop worrying about them. Just trust God and do good. Is there anybody here who knows that serving the Lord will pay off after a while? David, y'all, in a real sense, is reflecting backward over his life's experiences to share with us how he got over. He finally realized that it was his delight in the Lord. It was because of his commitment to God, his rest in the Lord, that brought him this far. David, through Psalm 37, reminds us of the transient nature of worldly prosperity and the enduring promise of divine justice. The righteous may face struggles, yet they remain under God's watchful care and his favor. It is this assurance, the unfailing provision of God, that serves as an anchor during life's storms. David appeals to his readers to look beyond the immediacy of earthly gain and focus on the eternal reward that comes from trusting in the Lord. His words challenge believers to cultivate patience and faith. If you're going to make it in this life, my brothers and sisters, you better learn to cultivate patience and faith. Amen. Sometimes you got to wait on God. Do I have any witnesses here today? Amen. The old folk would say, he may not come when you want him, but just keep on waiting. Isaiah said, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. You've got to have patience and you've got to have faith. Now, every member of Pleasant Hill ought to be able. I was somewhere, I don't remember where, but somebody asked a question. What is something that Pastor Garner always says? Was that you, Keisha? Amen. And she said he always says what? All right. Amen. And that's something I say quite often, but there's something else I say quite often, and I hope you get it. I'm always telling y'all to trust in God. The thing he wants most from us is that we trust him. Amen. When it gets dark, when it gets difficult, when it gets hard, amen. God hasn't forsaken us. He's not mad at us. He simply wants us to trust him. And so here we have David. He's an old man now. And David looks back over his life. He says, I was young and now I'm old. But one thing I've learned is that I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed beg bread. Y'all, I'm looking at my mother here this morning, 96 years old, and there are times, amen, that I call her and tell her how I'm frustrated or I'm sad or I'm disappointed, and then every now and then God will have me to really take a look at her and realize all the stuff that she's been through in her life, from being raised on a sharecropper's farm and picking cotton and all that kind of stuff, to where she is today, 96, but still a very independent woman. trust him. Where are my people in the room today who've made up in your minds that you're going to trust him? Well, the first point I have is I want you to consider what envy does to a person. First of all, let me tell you that envy is very common. For many, it's the motivation behind the lottery tickets we buy, the clothes and jewelry we can't really afford, the luxury cars that take a whole bunch of our paychecks away because we're trying to impress somebody. Amen. It's one of the most potent causes of unhappiness because envy drives us to want and buy what we really can't afford. Yes, envy is coming, but it's not always just about money. Amen. Sometimes it's about position and power, even in the church. You will be amazed at the envy and the mess that's caused because somebody else wants a position. I wish he would have put me there. That ought to be my position. Amen. But is there anybody who understands that all of this stuff is fleeting?
Amen.
We're not going to be here forever. You can't sleep and you're miserable and stressed out because you're worried about something somebody else has, and we've got to all one day come to a point where we realize that we're going to leave this place. We're going to leave stuff. I put it on Facebook a few months ago that we're going to die. Amen. Folk are going to come to our funeral, cry a little bit, and then in a few days they're going to be moving right along with their lives. Do I have any witnesses here today? We really don't have time for envy. We don't have time to be getting caught up in stuff. We ought to be worried about how can we serve God? How can I worship him? How can I pray? Because that's what's going to last. The songwriter said, only what you do for Christ will last. What good is envy? It doesn't solve anything. It just makes us bitter, not better. It aggravates our situation. We go from wasting time to worrying and eventually to wearing away of our power to overcome it. If envy goes unchecked, it won't be long before we become what we despise. Look at what the prosperity of the wicked does to them. Their achievements are vain. If y'all can turn these speakers just a little more. The sound is perfect, Brother Lott. Amen. But the sound is causing them to make a little squeak. Amen. What good is envy? Amen. Envy causes folk to become selfish and self-centered. Thank you. They become prideful and self-praising. They become greedy and covetous. They become cynical and sarcastic. They become arrogant and conceited. David is trying to teach us that envy is a slow, progressive, and insidious disease, and nothing good can come of it. At this stage of his life, he knows that it's better to have little with a clear conscience than to have a whole lot of stuff that you got from unrighteous achievement. There's something else that envy does. It grieves God. We don't like to admit this. We prefer to say that envy is just a feeling of unhappiness rather than to call it what it is. It is sin. Because envy implies that we are dissatisfied with how God is doing stuff in our lives. Do I have a witness today? In essence, when you're full of envy, you're saying that if God were just and if he really loved me and if he really cared about me, he would give me all the stuff that I want. Amen. He wouldn't let our unbelieving enemies triumph over us. He wouldn't let that unchurched heathen of a supervisor mistreat us. Look at what envy did to Brother Cain. Coveted the favor that his brother had with God. And rather than correct his sinful ways, he killed his brother. Look at what envy did to Saul. He was angry that David's one victory got more recognition from the people and really the women than Saul's many victories, and Brother Saul lost his mind. Look at what envy did to Haman. He was jealous of Mordecai and the Jews and plotted to destroy them, and it was he who ended up hanging from the gallows. Do you understand that envy will mess you up? Amen. Envy will cause you to get the bad end of the deal. If we profess to be followers of the lowly Jesus, it is our duty to not yield to temptation. So rather than wreak havoc in the world and even in the church, amen, we've got to focus on lifting Jesus up. We've got to focus on lifting one another up. Amen. We've got to focus on praising one another and helping one another. Amen. And is there anybody here who knows that when you do that, God will bless you? He will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Amen. Get the focus off of you. Oh, my. I'm so glad Jesus was not a selfish, envious person. If he had been, he would have never gone to Calvary's cross and died for your mess and my mess. Do you understand that he never sinned, that he never said, amen, an evil word? He never did an evil thing. He never had an evil thought, but he went to Calvary because of our mess. And we ought to pattern our lives after him. There are the evils of envy, but I want you to also look at the blessedness of trusting God. Trust has been recognized as the antidote for envy. Look at what trust produces. It produces benevolence towards man and thankfulness towards God. But it does something else. It acts to secure a benediction of hopefulness. You see, when you're trusting God, you're always hopeful. Amen. No matter how it looks, I still have hope that God's going to work it out. No matter how you feel, I was so blessed when I went to visit Deacon Corbin, and even after the doctors told him what his condition was, he said, "Pastor, I trust God." Oh my, so many would have been sad and would have been complaining and would have been asking the question, "Why me?" But Deacon Corbin said, "I just trust God." Amen, amen. He's always laughing and joking. And Deacon Smith, I hope I don't get in trouble, but he and Deacon Smith, they're always joking with one another. Sometimes in the office when they come back there to pray with me, amen, they joking. And when we called him this morning on the phone, he said, "Tell Deacon Smith, amen, he said, "Turn the phone down so Deacon Smith can hear it." Amen. They're always clowning. And even in the hospital bed this morning, he trusts God enough to believe that I can laugh my way through this. Is there anybody in here that you've ever been in a storm and you figured out because you trust in God that I can laugh my way through this? I can praise my way through this. I can worship my way through this because I know God loves me. I'm so glad that God, and David says in that 23rd number of Psalms, that God prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And I don't know about y'all, but I just imagine that if God prepares a table for me, that I'm going to end up full. Y'all can't look at me and tell that I like some good food. Amen. Oh my, and I just believe that if God prepares a table for me, amen, that when I get up from that table, I'm gonna be full. Is there anybody here who trusts God enough to believe that he will supply your needs? You will be full of his supply. You will be full of his provision. You will be full of his spirit. And I think I've got some witnesses here today who know that if you're going to please God, you've got to be full of his spirit. If we're going to serve the Lord with gladness, there has to be a right spirit before there can be right conduct. Envy comes from the lower carnal nature of our humanity. But trust is our higher spiritual nature. Instead of being separated from our brother by envy, we are bound to him by our trust in God. And I'm so glad that trust replaces envy. And so when someone else gets the solo part in the choir, that's not the time to be envious. That's the time to say, God, I thank you that you've blessed my brother, you've blessed my sister to be able to lead that song. Trust replaces envy when someone else gets the credit for our mission work. Trust replaces envy when someone else is recognized for raising the most money or being a great Sunday school teacher or bringing in the most new converts to Christ. We've got to trust in God. Amen. And then finally, I close when I tell you that you've got to consider your own favor with the Lord. You see, I can't judge you, and you can't judge me, because God is the ultimate judge. He alone can see the heart that is shielded from view, and he alone performs a perfunctory or automatic reset when we stray from his will and from his way. He knows that if you esteem yourself above others, he knows whether we seek opportunities just for ourselves or to help somebody else. And the Bible lets us know that David did not harbor envy in his heart against anybody. And I believe that's one of the reasons the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And so I close this morning by asking you, do you have favor with God? If you're committed to keeping step with the Lord, his favor will be upon you. And I believe that only a hypocrite would mock God's will and his ways. A trusting believer does not fret or worry. He is not envious of others. He will not retaliate when he's overlooked. He will not toss cold water on the achievements of others. He will not take advantage of another's failures. He will not withhold a blessing from a brother in need. He will not rejoice in or promote the sin of others. He's on the gospel track and not the gossip track. Do I have a witness today? So we know that trusting God involves both action and attitude. It is a call to live a life that embraces peace and purpose. I'm so glad that I'm not an envious person. I'm so glad that I'm not a jealous person, because I believe that what God has for me, it is for me. Am I by myself this morning? You see, if you trust God, there are few ways to tell if you found favor with God. Can I point out to you how you can identify someone who has found favor with God? Their generosity keeps no record. Their relationships inflict no tedious tension. Their joy sustains no disdainful damage. Their tongue speaks no vicious vulgarity. Their shadow casts no injurious image. Their stewardship reveals no overlooked obligation. As a matter of fact, you'll find the folk who have favor with God, they love to see other people blessed. They don't mind seeing other people happy. Do I have a witness today? Is there anybody here who has made up in your mind that you're not gonna be a